Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the recorded morning service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Easter Day, the 4th of April. The service today is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman. During the service today, we will celebrate Holy Communion, and you may wish to have bread and wine or juice prepared before you start listening.
Whoever you are, and wherever you are, welcome to our worship on this Easter Sunday. We have waited. We waited for this day, this rising day, overflowing with hope, and Christ has risen. We have waited. We waited patiently for this day, sustained by trust. For all our folly and shallow wisdom, we still have faith in God, and Christ has risen. We have waited. We waited earnestly for this day, sustained by anger, for we know just how much this world is in need of a new start. And Christ has risen. Our first hymn, Jesus Christ is risen today. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, our hearts lift with the moment of this morning. Now we see more clearly the way. Now we know more nearly the truth. Now we find more dearly the life. This is the day of rising. This is the day of unutterable joy. This is the day of death's defeat. This is the day you have made new all our dearest desires, all our hopes and schemes and dreams, all our chances to choose to live for the sake of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. This is the day, and this is the time. Today, now, we gather in worship in the name of that same Lord Jesus Christ. Easter morning takes us by surprise, awakening us to the doubts and despair that have been rooted in our lives. if at times we deny you, God forgive. If at times when the risks of discipleship are high, we are nowhere to be found, God forgive. If at times we wash our hands of responsibility, God forgive. If at times we cast our lot with powerful oppressors and seek to buy freedom with silver, God forgive. If at times fear keeps us from witnessing to your truth, or prejudice keeps us from believing it, God forgive. In the bright light of Easter morning, our sin is exposed, but your tender grace is revealed. Tender God, we are bold to come before you and ask you to forgive us. Help us to leave behind our foolish doubt, so that with joy we may witness to your awesome deeds in Jesus, the risen one. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer, in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I don't know if any of you, or many of you, have ever been to New Zealand. I haven't. It's effectively right on the other side of the world, as far as you can get from here in the UK. One of the first British sailors to visit New Zealand was Captain Cook. He sailed around the islands and started to name places and map it out. He didn't give some of those places ordinary names like Sutton or Cheam or Epsom. He thought of some very exciting and entertaining names like Bay of Plenty, Pleasant Point, Doubtful Sound, and Hen and Chicken Islands. But Captain Cook wasn't able to explore the whole of New Zealand. There were some places that were hard for him to get to in his ship, and one of them was a bay that he couldn't get into, and so he gave it a very funny name indeed. He called it Nobody Knows What. Nobody Knows What. When Captain Cook went back for another journey around New Zealand, he took with him another sailor, who in turn would have a boat of his own and return 20 years later. He was called Captain Vancouver. You may have heard of him because there's a big city in Canada named after him. But when he went to New Zealand with his trip, he finished Captain Cook's work of mapping the coastline and naming the places. And when he came to that bay called Nobody Knows What, he was able to get into it. And he gave it a new name. He called it Somebody Knows What. Before Jesus came and lived amongst us, people were very afraid of death. If they spoke about it at all, they would say that nobody knows what lies beyond death. Nobody knows. But one of the reasons that we're so happy at Easter is because Jesus died and has risen, and he has told us that we don't need to be afraid of what lies beyond. Now we know that somebody, Jesus, knows what lies beyond. Not nobody knows, but somebody knows, and he has told us it is good. And we need not be afraid. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
A reading from Isaiah 25, verses 6 to 9. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, "Surely this is our God. We trusted in him, and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation." Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 18, verses 1 to 18. The Resurrection. After the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices to go and anoint the body of Jesus. Very early on Sunday morning, at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way, they said to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" It was a very large stone. Then they looked up and saw that the stone had already been rolled back. So they entered the tomb, where they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Look, here is the place where he was placed. Now go and give this message to his disciples, including Peter. He is going to Galilee ahead of you. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and ran from the tomb, distressed and terrified. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. An old ending to the gospel. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene. After Jesus rose from death early on Sunday, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had driven out seven demons. She went and told his companions. They were mourning and crying. And when they heard her say that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe her. Jesus appears to two followers. After this, Jesus appeared in a different manner to two of them while they were on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but these would not believe it. Jesus appears to the 11. Last of all, Jesus appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating. He scolded them because they did not have faith and because they were too stubborn to believe those who had seen him alive. He said to them, "Go throughout the whole world and preach the gospel to all the people. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. Believers will be given the power to perform miracles. They will drive out demons in my name. They will speak in strange tongues. If they pick up snakes or drink any poison, they will not be harmed. They will place their hands on sick people, and these will get well." Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Our second hymn, "Christ is Alive, Let Christians Sing." Thank you. are so familiar with the Easter story, even if we are not regular churchgoers, that it might be surprising for us to hear that the first witnesses were amazed and afraid. But the reasons for their amazement and fear are ones that, 2,000 years later, are deeply embedded in our souls too. What they experienced was and is entirely unnatural, something we sometimes forget because of our familiarity with the story and because of the time of year we celebrate Easter. Easter for us always coincides with spring and the greening of the earth. Christ is risen and the whole world comes to life again. Sap rises in dormant trees, flowers bud and bloom and spill their sweet smell on the air. Blackbirds nest, eggs hatch, and fragile young birds start their cheeping. The connection between Easter and spring is a happy one, guaranteed to renew our faith in the creative power of God. But it is also a misleading connection, because spring is entirely natural. If you buy a daffodil bulb in the winter, it looks like nothing in your hands, a small thing with thin skin and scraggy roots. But if you are a gardener, that doesn't worry you. You know all you have to do is wait. Come springtime, it will escape the earth and explode with colour, a yellow butterfly of a blossom shedding its cocoon. As miraculous as it seems, it is completely natural. Resurrection, on the other hand, is entirely unnatural. When a human being goes into the ground, that's it, isn't it? You do not wait around for the person to reappear, so you can pick up where you left off, not on this side of the grave anyway. You say goodbye. You pay your respects and you go home, and you get on with your life as best you can, knowing that the only place springtime happens in a cemetery is on the graves, not in them. That is all those three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome, were doing that morning. Paying their respects, going to finish anointing the body, going to Jesus' tomb to convince themselves it was all true. Death is natural. Loss is natural. Grief and despair are natural. But those stones of loss have been rolled away this morning to reveal the highly unnatural truth. You can't wonder that the first words out of the angel's mouth were, "Do not be afraid." You can't wonder that those women ran out of there as fast as their legs could carry them in fear and amazement. New life is frightening. It is unnatural. To expect a sealed tomb and find one filled with young men or angels, to hunt the past and discover the future, to seek a corpse and find the risen, none of this is natural. Jesus' absence is deeply disturbing in another way too. The women have come to the tomb to gain what comfort they can by being near him. Although he is dead, they hope to gain strength from tending to his body. Often in our lives, we too come looking for Jesus, wanting to be near him. We look for hope in a tragic situation. We look for the feeling of being loved, or for the ability to love and forgive someone else. We look for purpose and meaning in what we are doing, or a feeling of self-worth and value. Just as the people who were first touched and healed by Jesus, we too need a sense that Jesus is near us and will lead us from where we are to where we need to be. And like the women, sometimes when we come looking, we find he isn't there. We're not granted even a glimpse of the risen Christ inside the tomb. So then, where is he? Where will we find him? What does the young man say? "He is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." To Galilee. But Galilee is the place of heartbreak and loss. In Galilee, the disciples' hopes had been raised. Galilee was where they had first met Jesus, where they had first come to feel the power of God in the depths of their lives, where they had first glimpsed and begun to taste the dawning of the kingdom of God among them. They had left Galilee to follow Jesus. To follow him, they thought, to a place where justice would flow like a river. And now, to go back to Galilee was to face the real disappointment and real emptiness of what life was once again. But indeed, it was in Galilee that they found the risen Christ. In Galilee, where they lived their ordinary lives, in the place of their work and their play and their family, in the place of their grief and their losses and their pains. This is what was waiting for the disciples back in Galilee, the experience that Jesus was not gone, but still present with them, that the kingdom of God he brought near to them was not a dream, but the underlying and undefeatable reality of their lives. We all have our own Galilees, not cities on a map, but places in our soul. Places where hope turns to heartbreak, where joy turns to grief, love to resentment, dreams to nightmares, life to death. These are the places and experiences in our lives that we flee from and to which we do not wish to return. But this is where the risen Christ is and is waiting for us to meet him. This is where new life is waiting to be discovered. This is where new hope and possibility are to be rekindled. This is where resurrection is waiting to be revealed. He is going ahead of you, as always, calling us to follow from beyond where we are, that we might learn to see as he sees and to become as he is. But he's not just going anywhere. He's going ahead to Galilee. The gift of the resurrection is that we can go back to those places of darkness, of grief, of shame, of death, with hope and with faith. We can go back to the place where our heart has been broken and trust that God is there. And we can move forward into situations that unnerve us, and we can know that Christ is there also. The gift of the resurrection is that Christ brings God's Spirit to be revealed in the ordinary situations of our lives and in the world. The theologian Frederick Buechner once wrote, "It's not his absence from an empty tomb that moves us, it is his presence in our empty lives." It is not his absence from an empty tomb that moves us. It is his presence in our empty lives. And those who see it are never the same again. By sending the women back to Galilee, Mark sends the disciples and us back to the beginning of the story. He sends us back to his first words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The whole gospel is just the beginning. The empty tomb isn't the end of the story, it's only the beginning. Galilee was where they first met Jesus. It was a fringe area, a bit of a hinterland, but it was their home. It was the place of their daily ordinary life, and it was in the midst of that daily ordinary life that they first met and began to follow Jesus. That they were first touched by and began to believe in the good news of God's kingdom in their midst, in the casting out of evil spirits, the healing of the sick, the forgiveness of the sinful, the creation of a truly human community and communities of new life right where they were. It was a wonderful thing, a wonderful memory of how things had been before they came with Jesus to Jerusalem to have the dream undone. And on the morning, after the death and burial of Jesus, I have no doubt that's how it felt as they awoke, that the time they had known with Jesus in Galilee really was just a dream now broken and vanished and over. until the women found the tomb empty. No dead body there. Instead, a message that Jesus was raised and alive and at work in the world again, and that he was going ahead of them back to Galilee. Easter is a day with some measure of heavenly rapture. It is a day that feeds our longing for the assurance of release from this world and of resurrection to life after death at the end. But it is so much more. When we think of Jesus going ahead of the disciples back to Galilee, it is a day that calls and sends us back to the world in which we live every day. Back to this life as we know it, and back to the people and life of the world as it is, with an assurance that the dreams we have of things being able to be new and different and better are not just empty dreams. Because it's there, in the midst of daily, ordinary life in the world as we know it, that Jesus is waiting to meet us. Thanks be to God.
Dear Lord, on this Easter day, we open our awareness to love, which is to us unimaginably vast in breadth and height and depth and distance, and way outside our limiting concept of time and death. It draws us to a renewed awakening of our ability to worship, live, and grow through accepting we are your children. We thank you for the spirit of dedication and service with which you have imbued so many human hearts and which has shone out during this last year of pandemic. From those in the front line, doctors, nurses, ambulance staff, to those out of sight in laboratories and production factories working on vaccines, and who now give their free time to clean and administer vaccines in the centres. For those leaders who have sought to guide our behaviour in unprepared situations and make decisions, sometimes too cautious, another times too liberal, and suffer the criticism, not always taken too well. We pray for those country leaders who are now seeking to plan cooperation for the next widespread infection. May those countries whose health and testing service is less developed be able to access the vaccine and administer it to all their peoples. On this day, we remember those who have found this time of lockdown akin to a form of imprisonment, possibly accompanied by abuse. Looking ahead, please open our hearts and awareness to those around us who are mentally and spiritually bruised, whose sense of being loved has become limited and distorted. May we be open to your love for us and for them, and have the joy and ability to convey your love in practical ways. Again, on this day, Lord, we bring you the tensions felt around behaviour to those of different skin colour and ethnicity. May we remember that we are all your children, with inevitably different backgrounds and attitudes. Looking ahead, may we examine, in the clear light of your love for all, how and in what ways we have prejudices which affect our judgments on others and result in our harbouring and showing negative and unloving attitudes and words to them or about them from our hearts, careless of the effective spreading of racial and gender distortions and tensions. This Easter, may we be renewed so that we begin again to receive God's love. That moment we begin to love with His love. God has loved us into loving and into loving with His love. Let us not allow our prejudices to cause us to turn away from Him. And we ask all of this for the sake of Jesus, who exampled God's love in such abundance. Amen.
Luke the Evangelist wrote of our risen Saviour, who at the table with two of the disciples took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Their eyes were opened, and they recognised the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. In company with all believers in every time and beyond time, we gather to know the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. Our next hymn, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ. The narrative of the institution of the Lord's Supper as it was recorded by the Apostle Paul. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so, at our Lord's command and following his example, we too take bread and wine, and we give thanks to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, with those who loved you and betrayed you, you shared a meal and set the seal upon this act and from the upper room went out to die. Lord Jesus Christ, you hung alone upon the cross, yet not alone, For in that time of loss two convicts hung there too, and in your death you were at one with sinful humankind. Lord Jesus Christ, we see the arms outstretched in pain, but there again see a welcome and a love which beckons us to look above. This is the Jewish King we see. You died for humankind and us. Lord Jesus Christ, the soldier saw you as a Son of God, yet thought that you were dead. On Easter morn, before the dawn, God raised you up with life anew, and in the garden, upper room, or on the Emmaus road, your friends encountered you. Lord Jesus Christ, as now we take this bread and wine, may we encounter you. Send down your Spirit upon these gifts, that as we eat and drink at your command, we find ourselves within your hand. Lord Jesus Christ, all around us we can sense a myriad faces, voices, raises, joined in their worship of a risen Lord, made one with you and all your church, past, present, and to come. We ask that in our living now, your life may pulse and flow, and we may imitate your way today and always. Amen. The bread which we break is communion in the body of Christ. Take and eat. The body of Christ is broken for you. The cup which we take is communion in the blood of Christ. Take and drink. The blood of Christ is poured out for you. Let us pray. God, who has given us the sun, shine upon us now that we might take your light to all people. God, who has given us flowers, colour our lives that we might bring beauty to the world. God, who has given us bread, break our bodies that we might feed the needs of your people. God, who has given us wine, pour out our hearts that we might satisfy their souls. God, who has given us Christ, sanctify us that we may declare him to all. God, who has shared yourself, help us to share that we may love our neighbours as ourselves. Amen. Our closing hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son. being here together, has been a resting place on the long journey of faith. Move on from here with your spirits renewed and your heads held high. Exactly where this week will take us, each of us is uncertain. The one thing certain is that we shall never travel alone. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be upon us and those whom we love, this day and always. Amen.
Sorrow she took.